sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
Traveling with a new baby or toddler can be quite anxiety-provoking for any parent. How can a mother soothe her screaming baby on an airplane, and where can she find the laws for breastfeeding in public in a different state? Today, I'm ecstatic to introduce Jessica Martin Weber, or as many of you know her as the Leaky Boob, breastfeeding mama extraordinaire. So this is the Boob Group, episode 60.
Breast milk, it does a baby good.
Silly daddy, boobs are for babies.
I make milk. What's your superpower?
If my breastfeeding offends you, put a blanket over your head.
Dairy diva.
Don't be lactose intolerant.
Nursing nature's own breast enhancement.
Meals on heels.
Whoever said there's no use crying over spilled milk never had to pump.
Breast milk. All udders are inferior.
Whatever your point of view, we're here to support your breastfeeding goals. We're the Boob Group, because mothers know breast. Welcome to the Boob Group, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. The Boob Group is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for all things related to breastfeeding. I'm your host, Robin Kaplan. I'm also an International Board Certified Lactation Consultant and owner of the San Diego Breastfeeding Center. Thanks to all of our loyal listeners who have joined the Boob Group Club. Our members get all of our archived episodes, bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways and discounts. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter for a chance to win a membership to our club each month. Another way for you to stay connected is by downloading our free app from iTunes or the Android Marketplace. Today in the studio, we have three lovely panelists. Ladies, will you please introduce yourself? Danielle, you want to go first?
Yes, my name is Danielle Gimbroni. I am 28 years old. I stay at home with my little boy, Vinny, who just turned 2.
Fantastic. Christine?
My name is Christine. I am 23. I am in the military. I have one 14-month-old little daughter named Zoe.
I'm Tony.
And I'm Tony Trinidad. I'm an older mom, 42, and with my first baby who's about 2 years and 3 months, and his name is Mason. I'm also a part-time teacher.
Awesome. Well, thanks, ladies, and welcome to the show.
Sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
So today we have Robin Belovich from Baby Hawk, and she is the sponsor of our show today. So Robin, welcome into the studio. It's so nice to have you.
Thanks, Robin.
Robin. I love Baby Hawk, and so I love your products. I'm super excited that you want to come in and talk about them a little bit today. So tell us about Baby Hawk. What type of carrier is it?
We actually have three different types of carriers. I will start with the beginning one, which is the Meitai, which we started making 8 years ago. It is a front or back carrier, newborn to 40 pounds, and it's ties on. So you don't have to worry about adjusting any buckles or straps. It just ties right on and goes from caregiver to caregiver, no problem at all. Our second carrier is called the Ome, and it's a hybrid carrier. It has the top straps that tie like the Meitai, but it has a structured bottom strap that buckles on. So you have a little bit more support with the lumbar when you're in the back carry position for older children. But then you have the adjustability of the top straps to be able to tie around and do different types of carries that you would want to do, like with the Meitai. And then our third carrier is the O-Snap, and it's our full soft-structured carrier, all buckles and foam-padded straps, and it's just easy, breezy, put it right on and go. A lot of dads prefer the O-Snap just because it's a little bit easier to get on and there's no tying involved. The Ome and the O-Snap is 15 pounds to 45 pounds, so you cannot carry a newborn in those carriers, but they're still good for plenty of years on past that.
Absolutely. I've told this story a couple of times where, you know, we went to an all-day concert and we threw our four-year-old and five-year-old on our backs and carried them in. And after it got past their bedtime, because they could snuggle in and watch Pearl Jam, and we got to enjoy it as well. And it was just absolutely fantastic. So it's amazing how long you can actually carry kiddos in there very comfortably. I mean, after 2 hours with them on my back, obviously, no matter what I was carrying them in, they were going to be tired. But we got to stay so much longer because they were so content. So where is the baby hawk made, and or where are all of your carriers made, and what's the fabric like?
Well, we have our own manufacturing company in Oceanside, California. We have always made them ourselves. We don't outsource any of our products or any of our pieces. So they're all made in-house. And we use 100% cotton twill for the straps and cotton for the fabric pattern, stuff like that. So it's all cotton.
Fantastic. Can you wash them?
Yes, you can.
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
So I've heard it's super easy to breastfeed your baby in a baby hawk. How can a mom do this safely or do this while wearing her baby safely?
The easiest part about the baby hawk is that the top straps are easily adjustable so that you can loosen them to drop the baby into a better position to get the baby down into the right position for breastfeeding, and you're able to tie them back up and they're safe and secure in that position. From there, you would remove your breast and, you know, get your baby in position to nurse. A lot of times it comes a little bit easier once the baby has better head control at, like, you know, 3 months. You can do newborns, but it's going to be a little bit more hands-on. And at all times, there's no point. You can't just set it and forget it. You need to be constantly aware of your baby when you're nursing your baby in any kind of carrier, to make sure there's, you know, clear airway and that you're able to see their face and, you know, they're able to look up at you. You don't ever want to cover their face or have them smushed up and not be able to breathe, obviously. So it's just very important to loosen the straps to the right position, retighten, get them in position, feed them, and then when you're done, make sure you put them back up in the right position by tightening the top straps back up again. So you don't want them, you want them visible and kissable at all times.
Fantastic. And since our episode is about traveling with your breastfeeding child, how easy is it to travel with a baby or child in the baby hawk?
I actually love traveling with a baby and the baby hawk. There's a couple of things that really come to mind when I thought of this question. One is, when you're in the airport, there's no need to take them out of the carrier to go through the checkpoint for security. As long as you take the shoes off, your shoes off, their coats, your coats, beforehand, you're able to walk right through. You don't have to take them off. You don't have to hand them over to another caregiver. You just walk right through. And I've just found that that's so nice, especially when you're needing to get everything up onto the luggage.
Conveyor belt.
Exactly. You know, getting your shoes off, it's just so easy to know that your baby's right there. You don't have to worry about taking them out of the stroller and folding it up. But if you use a stroller as well, you just have a portable luggage rack for your luggage. So it works well, you know, to use both at the same time.
Absolutely. And do you not have to take it off because there's no metal?
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah, there's no metal. And yeah, it's great. And they always say, no, just leave them in there.
Oh, wonderful. So where can our listeners find baby hawks if they would like to purchase them?
Well, babyhawk.com is obviously the choice to go first. You can go from there and purchase online from us direct. You can buy custom design, which means you can choose your strap color, your pattern. We have over 16 patterns to choose from. You can make them reversible, extra long straps, so on. Or you can use our store locator and find over our 400 retailers worldwide to see where there's someone by you to maybe try one on beforehand.
Wonderful. And for all of our listeners, we have a nice promotion through Baby Hawk that there is going to be a discount code. So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. We will be offering 15% off all of our carriers on the babyhawk.com website, just with the coupon code, one word, boob group. Nice and easy.
Awesome. And so we'll have a link to that on our website from this episode's page as well. So just in case you're in your car listening to this and you can't write it down, don't pull over. Go to our website, look for this episode, and you can link directly there to order your own baby hawk. Thanks so much for coming in the studio, Robin. It was so nice to meet you.
It was nice meeting you too, Robin. Thanks. Thank you.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
So today on The Boob Group, we're discussing traveling with a breastfeeding child. Our expert, Jessica Martin Weber, is a mother of six daughters, an artist, a philanthropist, a huge breastfeeding advocate, and the author of the wildly popular website and Facebook page, The Leaky Boob. Thanks so much for joining us, Jessica, and welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. So Jessica, let's start with road trips. What breastfeeding tips do you recommend for traveling long distances by car?
I laugh because my biggest tip is just to make sure you have a lot of time. We evacuated for Hurricane Rita several years ago, and I had a nursling, and it took us forever with traffic, and it was just a total disaster. And in our head, we thought we were going to arrive at our friend's place in an amount of time, as if we were going to drive straight through. And that simply was not possible. With a nursling, you have to stop frequently, and you have to make sure you're feeding mom and you're getting plenty of fluids, and that means potty breaks, and that means lots and lots of stops. And so my biggest tip is actually don't rush. Take your time. Make the journey part of the experience instead of just trying to get to your destination, and it'll be way more pleasant for everybody involved. So that would be my first tip, is to plan a lot of time. We have kind of discovered that when we're doing road trips and we have a nursling, especially if they're under 12 months and they're really not yet having solids as a regular part of their nutrition and more of an experimental plaything, they're going to have to stop and eat frequently. And we have a lot more fun when we plan for it to be about twice the actual driving time. And we know that everybody's going to have time to stretch their legs and baby will have plenty of time to eat. My next tip would actually be to make sure you're wearing comfortable, very comfortable and easy access clothes, which most breastfeeding moms do anyway. But I found myself at times thinking I'm going to be able to hang out in the car wearing something that actually isn't practical for easy stops and quick access. And then my third one is to be okay pulling over someplace safe, sitting in the parking lot and feeding your baby. If there's not some place that you can go inside and sit down, that's okay. But you do want to make sure you're not parked or pulled over on the side of the road and you are in a safe space. And so those are my biggest tips for breastfeeding and traveling on the road. Oh, I have another one. This actually isn't a tip as much as a warning. A lot of times I see on the Leaky Boobs mom saying, well, I just leaned over and fed my baby while they were in their car seat. And I get that desperate times feel like they call for desperate measures, and I've done it myself. But the truth is, it's not a safe option, and it's not a safe option for mom or the baby. And there have been moments where we haven't found a place, and I've leaned over, and I've tried to get my boob to babe, which can be really hard in a forward-facing seat, by the way, and even harder in a forward-facing. So the point is, though, that if something were to happen, if there were to be an accident, can you imagine the force of a mom going into her baby's face while that baby is feeding. It is not a safe option. So go ahead, plan the extra time and pull over and don't feed. Resist the urge as much as possible to not feed in the car seat and wait till you get someplace safe.
Such a good bit of advice for taking the long journey as well. When my son was 6 weeks old, we drove up to Northern California for my sister-in-law's wedding. And it definitely took us twice as long, but my son was breastfed at the Madonna Inn in San Luis Obispo, San Luis Obispo. He was breastfed in one of my favorite restaurants in LA. Like, this kid was fed on Pismo Beach. Like, I mean, he had quite a little journey for his ride up to San Francisco and back. So, and we have photos of all of it. It was fantastic. So,
you know what would be fun? Take a picture in all the great places you end up having to stop to feed your baby and just be like, here was our breastfeeding journey, literally, all along the way.
I love it. I love it. Well, Jessica, what items are most helpful to bring on a road trip to facilitate breastfeeding?
I like to have a pillow so that when I do find myself having a nurse in the car, I have some support and I can be more comfortable with something under my arm, nursing in the car only when the car is stopped and parked and all that. To keep everybody safe. So I like to have a pillow for some support. I also like to have, I leak a lot, thus the name, the leaky boob. So it's kind of critical for me to be sure that I have my breast pads, something that's very absorbent and soft and comfortable. My favorites are Bamboobies. Just love knowing that if I leak, and I probably will, I'm covered and I have something absorbent for that. And then lots and lots of things to do, because when you have a lot of stops, especially if they're not destination stops and there's nothing to get out and do and you're just sitting in a parking lot feeding your baby, it can get easy to start feeling restless and to rush the feeding, and that's not good for mom or baby. So take time to absorb your baby and just connect with your baby, but then also have a book or a book on tape, or especially if you have other children you're traveling with. So something that will help capture everybody's attention and baby can get that full feeding.
Fantastic. Well, I'd love to open this up to our panelists. Ladies, for those of you who have taken road trips, any other tips that you would like to add to this? I know, Tony, you had mentioned that you had done some traveling by car.
Yeah, we've got some family about 2 hours away, and I wish I'd known the time tip when it was my time to travel for the first time, because we didn't expect for it to take so long. So I learned that one kind of the hard way. Yeah.
Any other tips? Did you bring anything particular with you in particular?
I think lots to drink for me, like mm-hmm. water and little snacks, so that I could stay mm-hmm. really nourished and feeling good and making sure that my supply was up, because that was something that was always a concern for me.
Thank you for mm-hmm. sharing. How about you, Christine?
We actually, my in-laws lived in Sacramento, which is about a 10-hour drive usually with a breastfeeding baby to go up there. And we've taken several trips up there since the time she was probably about 2 months till now she's 14 months. And we take trips, you know, at least once every other month to go up there. And we always drive. And I think the biggest help that we actually had, speaking about rushing feedings, is we actually started bringing our dog with us instead of getting a dog sitter. So when we would come to stops, my husband would take our dog out and like let her go to the bathroom, take her on a little walk. So that way I didn't feel rushed, like, okay, the show's waiting on me. You know, it was,
right. He's
going to take his time with the dog, and I'm going to take my time with our daughter, and we're just going to chill out here. And we'd always get food, like an actual meal for both of us, not just snacks, every time we would stop. So it's like, okay, family time out right now, and then that's we'll hit the road hard again.
Fantastic. How about you, Danielle?
I did a trip to the San Francisco Bay Area from here with my baby when he was 4 weeks old, and I drove mm-hmm. all the way by myself.
Oh, so. My goodness.
Yeah. So it was... He was little enough that he was fairly comfortable in the car seat, and you know, I could just really try to maximize on drive time. My tip is try to, when you have kind of established or you see your child's routine, try to plan your trip around that routine where it's most convenient. Like, say, you know that your baby gets their longest nap time, you know, first morning nap. So maybe don't leave in the middle of the night or early, early morning. Wait right until they're going to go for that long nap and then hit the road, and then try to get as much drive time as you can during that nap time. That really helped me a lot, is really paying attention to his own natural rhythms, and then trying to coordinate my driving schedule with those rhythms. That helped out a lot. It was tough for us because my baby was a big and still is a huge comfort nurser. So if you have a baby that takes a pacifier, that is a huge lifesaver. I remember driving that drive by myself, and he wouldn't take a pacifier and wouldn't like have it himself, but if I would hold it for him. So I remember kind of we were just driving in a really small little pickup truck, and I could reach back, and he was so small I could hold that pacifier for him, and we made like the last 45 minutes driving, you know, over that Altamont Pass through Northern California and with the help of a pacifier. So for me, it was just really about timing and sort of pre-planning. That helped out a lot.
Wonderful advice, ladies. So let's switch it up a little bit, Jessica. So traveling by plane, what tips do you recommend for breastfeeding on a plane, and how important is it to bring a cover?
Well, I travel a lot, and this last year, since I've had Sugar Baby, I've speak at events, and work has me traveling a lot. So she has been with me on the plane just about 12 times in the first 12 months of her life. And so we've had lots of plane trips, and I don't bother with a cover. And the truth is, even when I did back in the day when I was breastfeeding my older girls and I had to fly, I found that the cover was really more in the way. And in such a small space, I'm shielded so much by the seats in front of me and the people around me that the only people I really risk seeing anything were those immediately next to me. And I found most of them to be more than understanding and supportive. Now I'm more confident, and I kind of don't care if somebody sees, so it doesn't really faze me in the slightest. But I don't think a cover is necessary, in large part because it's just one more thing to deal with in such a small space. But if that makes mom feel more comfortable, then by all means, take your cover. Just have a plan for how you're going to use it, feel comfortable with it, practice with it. But I would really recommend that before you even make the decision to take a cover with you, practice breastfeeding in front of the mirror and see how much is actually showing. See how comfortable you can get pulling your breast out and getting your baby latched without needing a cover. And if you can do that, maybe you don't need to have a cover with you. But again, if that makes you most comfortable, then sure, take one. If that's what's going to help you travel in comfort with your baby and get their needs met, then by all means do so.
Wonderful. And Desiree from our Facebook page wants to know, what items do you recommend for a breastfeeding mother to bring with her on a plane?
Actually, I'm kind of a minimalist when I travel, especially by plane. There's so many times where I've gotten to the plane and the overhead bins are full, and I am going to have to check something. And so I travel super light. In general, I have one carry-on that's usually a roller board, and I keep my laptop in there and some snacks and all that. But in general, that's going to end up in the overhead, and I'm not going to want to bother trying to access that while I'm flying with my infant. And then I keep a very small canvas bag. I usually use my Earth Mama Angel Baby tiny tote, and in there I have my wipes and my diapers and snacks for me and snacks for the baby and a water bottle kind of jammed in there and some toys and maybe a small Aiden and Nene muslin blanket that's rolled up so that I have some support if I need it. And then I have my neck pillow and that's about all I travel with. Because the seats are small, because the armrests are right there, I find I don't need a whole lot of extra support. And any extra support I do need, I can use my bag or that pillow or the pillow or the muslin blanket. And so I make sure I'm wearing, I layer. So I usually am wearing a nursing tank, a t-shirt, and I have yoga pants on, and that's it. Oh, and a nursing necklace, so my baby has something to fiddle and play with, because that can actually save both of our sanity through the whole flight.
Exactly.
And that's usually all I have. And, of course, my trusty bamboo bees. So I don't reach everywhere. But that's it. And I find that making sure that I entertain baby once we're boarded and try to delay the breastfeeding until we're pulling away from the gate and we're on the tarmac getting ready to take off. That way she's latched and comfortable for the takeoff and it's smooth. Generally, it's really smooth sailing for me. I find that if I can get my baby to latch as we're pulling away from the gate, I have no problem with takeoff. She is usually asleep by the time the seatbelt light goes off and I could get up and go to the bathroom. That is my other tip. Go to the bathroom before you board. The chances are strong you won't get to go again.
Those are great tips. Ladies, what else do you have to add to that? Have you breastfed on a plane? And if yes, how'd it go? And were you nervous? Christina, I know you're a huge traveler.
Yeah, I have breastfed on a plane, and I have a lot that I agree with what she said and a lot to add, actually. I personally really like sitting on an aisle seat to breastfeed, because that's one side that I don't have to worry about somebody being there, one side I don't have to worry about my daughter kicking someone while I'm breastfeeding, and it's just I have more space that way, because nursing in between two people, which I've also done, is just uncomfortable, especially if they're very large men. And as soon as I sit down and I see anyone sitting around me, I just let them know, hey, so I'm going to be nursing. Are there any problems with that? Like, do we need to let a stewardess know? And I've never had any issues, and it's just been smooth sailing. And yeah, waiting until you're right about to take off and you know that you're taxiing before you latch is a huge thing, so that way they aren't done nursing while, you know, you're ascending or descending, and then they have their ear problems, and I'm sure that would just spoil the whole flight. Like, so yeah. And I love traveling on planes with her. I have a backpack as my carry-on, just like a big, like, giant black backpack that I shove everything in and put the most accessible stuff, like the things you're going to use the most, in the front, like diapers and wipes and maybe some snacks or toys. And I have my ergo. So I have my backpack on my back and my ergo on my front, and my daughter's like right on my chest. And that way, if I need to go to the bathroom and I don't have anyone that I can be like, hey, well, can you just hang on to her real quick while I go to the bathroom, like on the plane, I can just strap her in that and go, you know, and just hands-free all over the place, having a backpack and an ergo.
Perfect. How about you, Danielle?
We have flown a lot, quite frequently. I made the mistake when he was, our first flight was when he was 8 weeks old, and I thought I had to bring everything. So we had, the car seat and the stroller, but he was in a carrier, he was in the Mobi, and I had a diaper bag and just all these things. And I flew by myself. I seemed to travel a lot with my little guy, just me and him, but it was insane. It was terrible. It was so stressful. Since then, I've sort of streamlined the process, and I think that I bring nothing with me besides the baby and a carrier, and that's it, and my purse, and that's really it. In my purse, I'll stuff maybe a couple of little things, but nothing major at all. I keep it super, super simple. When he was 8 weeks old, that first trip, I wasn't necessarily concerned about covering for quote-unquote modesty's sake or anybody else's comfort. I was super paranoid of germs. I thought the recirculated air, and I'd put him under this cover and he would just breathe his own germs and not everybody else's. You know, so I did cover that first time. My experience has been the sound of the plane is like white noise.
Yeah.
He sleeps the whole time. The last time we traveled was from here to Chicago for the Mommy Con thing, and he was just about to be two, and I was really worried about it. And I took a bigger backpack this time with more toys and snacks and things to try to keep him occupied. And I didn't need any of it because I had the handy dandy boobs, and that was really it. He snuggled up and the plane takes off, and same thing. I kind of wait until we're sort of getting in the air. He likes to look out the window, and you know, I show him things even when he was tiny. I like to try to involve him in things and to show him what's going on and stuff. And so look around and see what's going on. And then as we start getting up a little bit higher, then latch, and he just falls right asleep. So flying is my preferred method of travel with baby over driving, for sure.
Wonderful. And Tony, have you tried it yet?
I haven't tried it yet, but I've been listening intently because we're traveling at the end of the summer.
Oh, are you? Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, wonderful. By plane. So I'm really taking it in.
Wonderful. When we come back, Jessica will discuss breastfeeding and public laws while traveling. So we'll be right back. Welcome back. Today we're talking about traveling with the breastfeeding child with Jessica Martin Weber. So, Jessica, when a mom is traveling by plane, how can she prepare herself to breastfeed in such a small amount of space?
Well, I think we kind of covered a lot of that with having a carrier and feeling confident and just knowing that the boob is going to be the easiest way to soothe your baby. So I think to prepare in that kind of space, it just, like I mentioned before, watch yourself breastfeed. See how you do it. And for a lot of women, we think it's this big production, and sometimes it is, especially if you have very large breasts or if you're having issues with a baby latching. But in general, babies know how to breastfeed, and we can trust that once you get to the point where you're ready to leave your house at all and travel, for sure, you probably have some skill when it comes to feeding your baby. And so to trust and have some confidence is actually probably the most important thing you can do. Because if you're confident, baby's going to be relaxed, and the people around you are going to get this don't mess with mama vibe. And that goes a long way in keeping you both comfortable during a feeding. So that would be probably my biggest thing. And then just wearing comfortable clothes, have a carrier. I like to use a ring sling often, especially when they're really little, because when they fall asleep on the breast, I just keep them in the sling and I lower it down and feed them and then cinch it up a little bit when they've fallen asleep, and then I can kind of recline and we can relax together for the rest of the flight. So just things that work for you at home probably are going to work for you on the plane too. It's more that you need to feel confident in yourself and in your baby and in this time together. And then you don't need a lot of things. Someone had mentioned earlier that they took everything with them the first time they traveled. You'll end up feeling like you stick out. You're bumping people with your giant diaper bag, and you're worried about your stroller, and you know, all this stuff ends up becoming more of a hassle and a headache. So minimize, simplify as much as possible, and it will be an easier experience for everyone.
Terrific. And say a mom wants to bring breast milk in a bottle with her. What are her rights according to the TSA?
Well, this is kind of an interesting subject because while TSA actually has on their website information about traveling with breast milk, and it's really simple and straightforward. Unfortunately, we know from experience that different women, different TSA agents have not been quite clear on what the rules are.
Yeah, and so to put it softly.
Yeah, I'm trying to be kind of diplomatic in how I say this. There have been times where it's a problem. So the best a mom can do is actually print out TSA's own guidelines and have them with you. And I know it's an inconvenience and it's just one more thing to remember, but I just carry mine in my pump. It is in the pocket of my pump bag so that if I need it, I can show them, here are your own guidelines printed off your website. And I try to check it before I go just in case they've changed, because they could between trips. But print off those rules. Be prepared to show them. And then a very compliant attitude of, you know, this is just my milk for my baby. Try not to be argumentative. Just explain you're trying to feed your baby if they should question it. But in general, you just pack it like you normally would. They may ask you if it is not frozen to taste it. they may not ask that, and they may want you to dump it out. It's hard to say, but having their own guidelines with you is your best bet to making sure it's a smooth process getting through security with your own milk.
Absolutely. And what about the woman's rights while on the plane? Are there certain rights that protect her to breastfeed in public on a plane?
There are certain rights that are protected federally for a woman to breastfeed her baby at all, as well as in a state. The problem becomes if it's in the air and there's some question as to your jurisdiction or what laws are covered. However, there are federal laws protecting a woman's right to breastfeed her baby wherever she has the right to be. And so if there were to be a problem, we hear that there are problems, but I want to remind people that we hear more about the few times there are issues than the millions of times moms are flying and breastfeeding and don't have any issue at all. I have never, ever been harassed on a plane for breastfeeding my baby. I've never been asked to cover. I've never been asked to move, and I've never been asked to stop. And so I think it's important to realize, don't expect trouble. Be confident, feed your baby, don't expect trouble. But if trouble does come, know your rights, know the laws. When I'm traveling, I look up the laws and have them printed out, because it's really hard to argue with things in print. I have them printed out for whenever I'm traveling from whatever state I'm traveling from to whatever state I'm traveling to. And I have those laws with me. If I'm flying internationally, I do that as well. I have, again, never had an issue. So just being prepared can help you, but a mother's rights are protected within the states to breastfeed wherever she and her baby have the right to be in the first place. So if you have the right to be on that plane, you have the right to feed your baby on that plane, however you feed that baby.
Absolutely. And you touched upon just, you know, when you go to a new state that you also bring the laws of that particular state as well. And so are there any other preparations that you do when you're traveling to new states to know what their laws are?
Just to look it up. And then I do a little Google search to see what kind of issues there have been in that state regarding breastfeeding. And I'll be honest, I did this like 3 times and then I forgot because I didn't have the time to do it. But if you are particularly nervous about it, do a search. See what kind of attitude there seems to be in that particular area, if there is anything. For example, if you're coming to Houston, you would search and you would say, oh, look, this Target actually asked a woman to cover and there was a big nurse in and there was all this drama about it and, you know, that kind of thing. So you would kind of have an idea, but I wouldn't want a mom to be afraid to feed her baby just because a particular area has had drama surrounding a mom breastfeeding. But having the state's laws printed out, you can find cards and you can make your own cards with the law printed on there and actually have the law reference number on there. But I usually just print it off the actual state website page and just have it like, hey, look, it's got your website on here and everything. And I just hand them that. However, when I was, for the first time ever, asked to cover while in Vegas last January, I didn't have it with me. I had left it in my hotel room. I wasn't carrying anything with me because I was a speaker at a very breastfeeding-friendly event. I was there because of the leaky boob. It was MommyCon, and when I got asked to cover, I laughed at the manager because I was so taken aback. But then I did inform her of the law, and she actually respected that. I don't think she was prepared for my response, but she respected that. And I told her, I can get you the reference number if you'll give me just a minute. I'd be more than happy to supply you with that legal information, but you do not have the right to ask me to cover. And you do not have the right to ask me to leave because I have the right to breastfeed my baby anywhere my baby and I are permitted to be, according to Nevada state law. And she left me alone.
That's so cool. That article is one of the funniest. You have some of the funniest photos in that article showing picture of you nursing compared to like the topless dancers. I mean, it's just.
Who's going to nurse in front of a strip club?
I know. Like of all places to be asked to cover up, Vegas is quite ironic.
It was. I felt bad for the manager because I actually thought she was joking at first. So I laughed and then I realized, oh, you're being serious. And
then you're like, do you realize what I talk about all day? You're kind of picking the battle with the wrong person.
My friend that was with me said, why didn't you say, do you know who I am? And I said, because I was fairly certain she had no clue.
yeah, pretty much. So ladies, since you all have been traveling so much, for those of you who have been to a different state, did you do any type of preparation as well to find out what the laws were? Christine, you're kind of shaking your head, or nodding your head, I should say.
Yeah, I've been to Nevada as well, and I've been to Oklahoma. That's where I'm from. I went back for Christmas. And I've been to Texas. Just, you know, as stopping points along the way, getting to Oklahoma while flying and stuff. And I remember when I was still pregnant, I looked up kind of different states' laws before we had, like, the federal law, like, protecting us. Or I think it was before the federal law protecting us, before I knew about it anyway. So I was looking up different states because I knew that there had been issues in states. I'm like, how are people asking? I didn't even know that asking people to leave because they were breastfeeding was a thing. Like, what? Why? I don't get it. So I was looking up different states' laws, and I'm like, the two states that apply to me, California where I live, Oklahoma where I'm from. So I already knew the state's laws, and I knew that there was like moderate protection. Like you can't ask someone to leave, but if you get asked to leave, you cannot sue them for asking you in the first place, you know? So I knew that that was kind of an issue, but when I traveled to Oklahoma, my daughter was already 9 months. And by that point, like, come ask me to cover up. Let's see what happens. Like, I was so like pro, like mama bear about it that I'm like, I don't even,
if the laws have changed, I don't really care. Like, I know that I have a comeback for everything when it comes to feeding my daughter, so whatever.
Danielle, how about you? Did you do any research? No.
I thought about it. It did cross my mind, like, maybe I should look about laws or something. But I have majority flown just within California. But when I flew back to Chicago, I mean, I was going there to visit breastfeeding friends and do help with the MommyCon thing. And so I was really not thinking that I was going to have an issue with it. But I think I do like what Jessica was talking about. I'm sort of really confident with what I'm doing. I don't worry about what anybody else is saying. And I always look for other families getting on the plane, and I try to sit near them because I figure, well, maybe even if my baby's not going to breastfeed, if he's fussing or running around or, you know, making noise or whatever, the families are going to be more understanding. So if we're sort of all banded together in one section of the plane, it seems to go well. But it keeps him occupied for a little while, and then he always ends up falling asleep anyway. So I never really worried about it too much. Actually, I was telling somebody the other day, I didn't even know nursing in public was an issue until, like, the baby was months old. I think maybe like 4, 5, 6 months old. I'd been nursing in public for his whole, since like day two. So I didn't even know that was a thing. So I think I sort of just do my own thing and mind my own business, and it goes really well.
It's so funny. I was thinking the same thing while you all were talking to him. I mean, my kids are much older. They're almost 8 and 6 and a half, but we were traveling with them at a very, very early age and flying across the country when they were both each around 4 or 5 months old. And it never crossed my mind to look up, you know, what the laws were and stuff. And so, I mean, I guess there's more awareness now that there is nursing and public harassment. But at the same time, that ignorance was bliss, because I never even thought that I couldn't breastfeed in public here on the plane or in New Jersey. So sometimes maybe that confidence is what helped as well. I mean, obviously, I know women who are confident still get harassed on planes as well. But it's just, I think it, like you had mentioned, Jessica, it really doesn't happen quite as often as we hear about it, because those stories are very sensational, you know.
Right. Well, and with me, it was funny, and I'm glad when it happened to me and it wasn't on the plane. Although my response probably would have been pretty much exactly the same, minus the, you do realize there's pictures of topless women all around it, right? But I was nursing my 6th baby. I had the leaky boob for 2.5 years by this point. I know what I'm talking about. I am confident. This is old hat for me. And so there is definitely a piece of this that, as much as I don't want to scare moms, the reality is, for some reason, this has become a flashpoint in our culture.
Yeah.
And we are going to have to be prepared, if nothing else, just with the confidence that we need to feed our babies, and that's okay, and we don't need to apologize for it, and we don't deserve to be harassed for it. And so there is an element of it, because in 6 babies, I've had 6 babies and breastfed all of them. And it wasn't until my 6th that I finally had someone say something to me. It was so bizarre. But the reality is, in the end, what ended up making it work for my baby and I just kept breastfeeding her through the whole conversation, was just knowing that my baby had the right to eat. And my baby had the right to eat as she was biologically programmed to eat, more than whoever complained about it had the right to not see it. And so that confidence fueled me, even when I thought this was so ridiculous. And as much as I may have wanted to storm out and walk away, I knew that I needed to stand up for my daughter's right to eat and be okay with that. And that was really empowering in the sense that I already was confident in feeding my baby, but now I was ready to stand up for it. So having the information and being prepared isn't a bad thing, but most of the time it's not going to be necessary. You're not going to need it, but it may go a long way in making you feel more comfortable.
Totally. All right, one last question for you. Casey had posted on our Facebook page, when traveling internationally, how does one get a feel of the culture so that mom can be culturally respected when breastfeeding in public in this new space?
Okay, I went to, on one hand, my background is so steeped in cultural issues, and my husband and I are, we're culturally diverse. He grew up in France, and I grew up in South Florida. And so we came from a very different perspective on everything. And so we've had to navigate that a lot in our lives, personally and professionally, and interacting in different cultural settings. And I advocate cultural sensitivity. I believe that it's really important to be informed. But this, when it comes to feeding our babies, I believe that moms need to feed their babies. And cultural sensitivity is important, and it certainly has a place, certainly when you're going into someone's home and when you are interacting with them, with others of a different culture, particularly in their culture. There is definitely a huge value on being culturally sensitive. But when it comes to feeding your baby, your first responsibility is to feed your baby. And cultural sensitivity takes a back seat to that. And the amazing thing I have discovered, I have traveled to quite a few different cultures. Other cultures seem to embrace that wholeheartedly. Feed your baby. Just feed your baby. And your baby needs to be fed. And in most of the world, that breastfeeding is so much more accepted. Even in areas where breastfeeding rates are low, it is still accepted and celebrated more, in many ways, more than it is in the States, which is kind of a sad commentary as to where we are in the States. But motherhood is almost celebrated in a way that feeding a baby generally isn't going to be against the culture.
Yeah.
And so breastfeeding is accepted because that's what you do. So to feel it out, you may want to talk to people that are there. Just ask them, hey, I'm going to be breastfeeding. Is there anything I need to know? But you also can look it up. La Leche League International has lots of information about breastfeeding in different cultures because they're all over the world. And there's an amazing presence online in general, whether it be the Leaky Boob or other online groups, where women are sharing their breastfeeding experiences from a global perspective. That's the beauty of the internet, is we now have this global community. So feel out the other moms. Find the breastfeeding moms around the world and just ask them. And be open. And then when you're in the moment, in that situation, for example, I've had to feed my baby in the middle of Paris on the steps of the cathedral because she got hungry right then. And so what are you going to do? And I sat down and I fed her, but I did kind of scope out just to see, am I asking for trouble in any way? Because I don't want that to be the highlight of our trip. And in general, at that time, it was just, no, I just need to feed my baby. And actually, I love this story. It's kind of a cute little experience. I found that traveling through Paris, both as a pregnant woman and then with my breastfeeding baby, there were not a whole lot of children around often when I would be out with my baby and meeting with friends or sightseeing or whatever the case may be. But I always felt appreciated, whether it was somebody, I would step onto the metro and somebody would hop up, or three teenage guys hopped up to make sure I had a seat when I was 9 months pregnant on the metro. And I was just like, wow, that does not happen back home. And so just kind of watch in general how the culture reacts to children, and that'll give you a pretty good clue as to how they're going to feel about you feeding your baby.
Such great advice. Well, thank you so much, Jessica, for your insight into traveling with a breastfeeding child. And for our Boob Group Club members, our conversation will continue after the end of the show, as Jessica will discuss her tips for staying in a hotel with a breastfeeding child. For more information about our Boob Group Club, please visit our website at theboobgroup.com. So here's a question that we received on our Facebook page. This is from Andrea, and it says, "Hello, ladies. I have a question for anyone who might know. I am in desperate need of a breast pump. I don't have insurance, and I'm nursing a baby who, I'm convinced, is part vampire. I've tried everything I can to help him to stop biting, and I'm not ready to throw in the towel yet, but I really need help. Please and thanks in advance."
Hi, Andrea. This is Andrea Blanco, International Board Certified Lactation Consultant. I'm so sorry breastfeeding is not working out for you just yet. Younger babies who seem to bite while nursing are usually trying to overcompensate for some difficulty they may be having while trying to breastfeed. This is definitely a situation where I would encourage you to seek local guidance from a skilled international board-certified lactation consultant who's able to do a full oral assessment and figure out what it is that your little vampire is doing with his tongue that is causing you so much discomfort, and be able to give you a care plan for moving past your breastfeeding difficulties. If your plan is to go to exclusive pumping, then a quality multi-user breast pump, like the kind used and rented at hospitals, is what you'll need. As you said, you aren't ready to give up just yet. I really hope you're able to find the in-person help you need so that doesn't happen. Good luck.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to The Boob Group. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals, for expecting parents, and our show Parent Savers for moms and dads with newborns, infants, and toddlers. Coming up next week, we have Wendy Wright discussing how to know your baby is getting enough in the series Breastfeeding and the Working Mom. Thanks for listening to The Boob Group, your judgment-free breastfeeding resource.
The views and experiences shared by Christine in this episode are her own personal opinions and not that of the United States Armed Forces.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.